while the flowers on our cross are fading. The eggs have been rolled down the slope. The chocolate has been eaten, or most of it. That was my favourite part. The sun shone last week. The children sang. And everyone was filled with joy at the news of the resurrection. Jesus was dead. Now he is alive again. That was last Sunday. This Sunday is the second Sunday in Easter, and it's traditionally known as Low Sunday. Hopefully not because you'll feel lower than you did when you arrived when you leave. But it's called Low Sunday for an obvious reason, because it follows the highs of Easter. The name recognises that this Sunday we come down to earth with a bang. Celebration over, reality kicks in. It's a bit like the whole of the month of January. What do we do now that the party is over? Now that we return to normal life? What happens now? Well, liturgically speaking, we remain within the season of Easter. We don't leave the story too quickly. We look within the Gospels to see what happened next. We ask, what does resurrected life look like? In the aftermath of the sorrow of the cross, what do we find? Can we find hope for our lives in the message that Christ is risen? We turn to the Gospel of John. If we were to knock on the door of that room where the disciples were gathered, we would find much sorrow. The passage which we read today is known as the one where the disciples sit huddled together with the doors locked out of fear. It's also the one where we focus on Thomas and his doubts and his questions. And sometimes I think we can be prone to forget that the disciples are also there filled with sorrow. Sorrow at losing their friend and all their dreams with him. The Lutheran liturgical scholar Gordon Lathrop has observed that you don't have to knock very hard on any door in your parish to find some sort of agony behind that door. Some sort of agony, some sort of pain or sorrow or disappointment or struggle. It doesn't take much imagination to place ourselves in the position of the disciples, for we will more than likely have experienced some sense of loss within our own lives, as will those who sit beside us this morning, and those who live and work beside us. At the end of this month, we will be launching a bereavement support group here in the Abbey, as I've mentioned already. It's a group which recognises that there are people in our parish and beyond who are grieving, experiencing sorrow and pain because someone they love has died. More about that later. As I've already said, like many in our community then, the disciples are grieving and sad. They seem to have been unaffected by the news given to them by the women that Jesus was no longer dead, but alive. For in the previous paragraph to the one which we read from, Mary Magdalene did pass on the news to Jesus' friends that he was alive. But here they are, still sad and frightened, immobilized by grief and fear. It seems that they had heard that Jesus was alive, but it had made no difference to their lives. Perhaps this is because they had heard about the risen Christ, but they had not encountered him. For it is one thing to hear the Easter story, and it is another to encounter the risen Lord. We come here on a Sunday to do just that, to meet with God, to meet with Jesus Christ, and to allow him to speak to us as we meet with each other How do we encounter Jesus? We wait for him. And we allow him to break into our locked rooms, the places where we live with our disappointments and hurts. I don't think we can break out of these locked rooms very easily ourselves. Rather, as in the gospel, it is Christ who comes to us. Despite the locks, he enters our room and speaks words of peace to us. Peace be with you. It's interesting to note that as the risen Christ enters the locked room, there are no words of recrimination. No questions as to why the disciples had abandoned him in his hour of need. I think I would have wanted to have brought that up. There is no dismissal of their grief or fear. There's not even a sort of jollying them along. God does not come to us to reprimand us, or to blame us, or to criticise, or even to cajole us. When we encounter the risen Christ, he comes to us bringing forgiveness and understanding. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. As we encounter Christ, we can also see that he is the wounded one. The resurrection is no fairy tale ending. I've been pondering this for a while. For we think of Christ bearing the scars from the cross, from the terrible way in which he died. But actually, the text says that these are wounds. They're not healed over wounds, which would be scars. They are open and weeping. Thomas, if he had wanted to, would have been able to put his finger into the marks of the nails or the wound in Jesus' side. The wounds are still there. They're not healed. They are, however, transformed. We wonder at them. They cause Thomas to proclaim, "My Lord and my God." The risen Christ is the wounded Christ, the crucified Christ. For us then, and for our world, the wounds, hurts, and the challenges which we face are real, just as Christ's wounds are real. They are not to be minimalised. Our problems are not somehow conjured away when we put our faith in Christ. However, the Easter message is that God is not only with us in the suffering, but also that God is transforming our sorrow into joy as we allow him. Christ offers us new life, different life, life where there is hope, and where we can find peace. Together life as church community. The kind of life demonstrated by the very early church, as described for us in our reading from the book of Acts, where believers share what they have with each other. Our hope for the bereavement support group is that those who come along will find that there is healing power in meeting together and in sharing with each other. This is resurrected life. It's not that the pain leaves, or that the wounds heal, or even that the fear recedes. But rather, resurrected life is all of these things are transformed. And so we can go forward with God. We can reach out to others and share their load. And we can praise the one who is risen from the dead, who gives us hope for the future and hope for today. Charles Wesley put it far better than I can in the hymn which we're about to sing. He wrote, "He," that is Jesus, "he speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe." Amen.